Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 186, episode 5 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday, May 28th, 2021. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Chugay Chugay. Oh, no. We Jacko. Brian. That is courtesy of Chris Barrera. And I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
I sat alone in my podcast room, bleary-eyed, I stare at the Zoom. Pour some pure blue carbonation, drink it down for brain electrification. It's due, it's Baja Blast. Okay, see, you know, we're
now
doing
you know how
the presidents
now
last
you know
time.
Yeah.
You didn't know about that. So
I didn't know about the peaches one, but
yeah, well, Hank Scipio brought it back on the Discord and did it in the tune that you did know, Lump.
Mm-hmm.
Or Gump. I was really doing it more like the Weird Al Yankovic style in my head. But anyway, shout out to you. Thanks for that, AK.
Weird Al style. Well, Miles, mm-hmm. We are thrilled, blessed, fortunate to be joined in our third seat by the body horror artist and comedian whose disgusting and hilarious film, The Sarah Vaccine, you can see on Means TV. She is the hilarious and brilliant Sarah Squirm! What's
Hello.
Up?
Hello. Can I do one of these intros
yeah.
too?
Fuck
you
yeah.
Better.
Okay, just came up with it. I'm Sarah Abudi Abudai. If I wasn't Sarah, I would die. Abudi Abudai.
Boom.
I'm neat. Is that Gen Z? Is that like a track Gen Z is into yet?
Oh yeah, because Gen Z is all they. Everyone in Gen Z looks like Crazy Frog now. Actually, steampunk.
What's new, man? Where are you? It's not much new. This is the first time I'm meeting you, but not the first time I've seen you work. But yeah, what's going on?
I'm in my weird house, and you guys can hear strange sounds outside my apartment, and that's all that's new.
Yeah, what part of town are you in?
For anyone who wants to come and kill me, I live in Hollyweird. Ever heard of it? Yep. Lights, camera, Sarah. And I'm a genius. I moved to Hollyweird from the Midwest 6 months before the global pandemic.
Where in the Midwest?
Chicago. Ever heard of it?
No. Is that near Dayton, Ohio?
Yeah, it's near. It's kind of near Dayton. It's also near. Oh, you probably know of the bigger city that's near it, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Fort Wayne. Yeah. F-dub it's kind in the of building. A suburb. exurb of Fort Wayne.
Is that as big as Alton, Illinois?
It's probably smaller and less important.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. You might know it as, I think people call Chicago the City of Angels.
City of Dreams. What's it like been, being the transplant out here coming from Chicago? It's a path many, comedians make, but what's it been like for you? You hate it?
It's amazing. I'm a lactose intolerant Jew, so living in the Midwest, I was just eating cheese and being sick all day. Right. So
that's all they'll feed you out there.
Yeah, that's all they'll feed you out there. And then I moved out here, where the Jews are again. So it's nice.
Nice.
There you go.
This is my birthright.
Less cheese?
I'm eating less cheese. Guess, and I hate to say it, but I'm eating vegetables in LA.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. How unusual. You eat vegetables now?
Hey, listen, you move out here, vegetables are good. It's blowing my damn mind. Okay.
They are better out in California. And also, I've maintained that the fast food hamburgers are better beef in California.
I'm saying the most cliche, annoying thing anyone's ever said, but when you eat the In-N-Out fries, and you're like, this is potato. You know what I mean?
This is potato. Yeah, I do. I do know what you mean.
It's like, when in your life have you eaten a fry and thought, this is a potato?
Yeah, very rarely. Very rarely. All right, Sarah, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. Amy Cooper is back. Amy Cooper, who you might remember from Central Park calling the cops on Christian Cooper, for
black
being
bird
a
watcher.
Black man who asked her to put her dog on a leash.
Central Park, she's back.
So she last we checked in with her previously in Amy Cooper, she was apologizing, being like, "I have learned my lesson," and now she's back. We're gonna see what the final form of Amy Cooper is. We're gonna talk about the GOP's main midterm issue. We're going to talk about big oil taking some L's. We're going to talk about that Friends reunion, guys, only insofar as I don't know why. Like, people are treating this like a movie, it's a big event. And it seems like a TV special to me at best.
Yeah, it's it's a jerk job.
Yeah.
When you hear Friends reunion, you're like, oh, shit, they're going to be at Central Perk and doing all the hits. And then I remember when I was like, it's a fucking like a Annenberg round table discussion.
No. Yeah. It's like a DVD extra and people are acting like it's fucking the biggest news.
It is for some.
So I'm just going to say that again, I guess, later on in the show. We're going to talk about some new stemless AirPods that are coming at you. And we know this because LeBron James already has them.
Big AirPods fan.
Big AirPods. We're a big AirPods podcast here, Sarah. And we're going to talk about kids being into weird shit. I asked people to tell me what weird shit they were into when they were kids and got some weird answers, some weird trends that I was picking up on. So we're going to talk about that. All of that, plenty more. But first, Sarah, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history? Yeah, busted. What's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, God. Do I look it up right now in front of
you
God and everyone?
Right here in front of God and everyone.
Oh, not bad.
Okay.
The last thing I searched was alien face hugger.
Oh, hell yeah. Huh? I mean, that's so on brand, too.
I know. Can you believe
like
I'm
body
walking?
Horror and yeah. You? The last thing you searched was the number one body horror moment in American culture.
It's so despicable how I'm just truly a parody of myself. So
are you?
Wait, yeah. What's with the search?
I think I just wanted to look at it. I just wanted to get a good look.
That's awesome.
Because the image that's open is a hyper realistic rendering of what like the inside parts would look like. Can I say vagina on air?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Big time.
Okay, so what the pussy meat would look like of the face hugger.
Right. It's interesting. I've never seen something so we're not used to that angle for the face huggers.
Right. We're only used to seeing it on the face, the whole covered. Now this is full hole. The face hugger's showing hole.
Is this like Geiger canon, or this is someone else decided to, you know, put some organs on this face hugger?
Okay, this says it's an unused alien face hugger, but this must be like fan art prototype or something.
Got it. Are you into H.R. Geiger?
Yeah, I'm into
that
anything.
Vibe. Oh, just because I'd imagine someone who goes, I wanted to look at it, was also kind of like, I like looking at H.R. Geiger's sort of freaky illustration.
I was thinking about him, and it was, I think, well, was it recently the alien like anniversary or something like that?
Probably.
And so I wanted to pay respects.
Yeah.
To my elders.
To my face hugging elders.
To my face hugging elders.
What are they? Xenomorphs? Xenomorphs, right? Is what the aliens are called? Yeah.
Yeah, sure. You could say anything. I'd say, yeah, sure.
Are you no nerd?
That's kind of like the most iconic moment of body horror. Do you identify as like a body horror artist, or is that just something Vice wrote in about you in their article about
they
you?
They wrote it and I loved it. I said, sure.
It's fucking cool. And it seems on
like
brand.
Sure.
Okay.
Easygoing guests.
When you get your horoscope read and someone's like, you're a Pisces, you're creative, and you're like, sure, yeah. Uh-huh.
It's oh like my that. God, you nailed me.
I feel seen.
Are you like, is there a movie that you feel like is underrated in that respect of like the body horror genre? Are you a Cronenberg head?
Yeah. And if you're going to go Cronenberg style on me right now, I think an underrated Cronenberg. Well, I don't know if it's underrated. I feel like people don't love Existence. I think they think it's like corny. It's the one where they go into the video game. Mm-hmm. But I'm watching it being like, this is the best one yet. This is the best one.
Mm.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't think I've even seen it.
Yeah, so. I knew of it, but I never watched it.
If I'm not mistaken, it's mm-hmm. him being like, damn, these video games look like they're going to be a friggin' problem. And guess what?
Guess what, babe? Huh? Nailed it.
Yep. Look at him. Got the kids doing all kinds of weird dances now.
Yeah.
These video games are a problem.
And I don't know anything about video games, but I did find out about Sheesh recently.
Sheesh.
You know about this?
Huh?
Sheesh? Sheesh.
You talking about TikTok?
Don't kids do it on Fortnite?
Yeah, I mean, look, you can be bussing respectfully anywhere, you know, honestly. Sheesh.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
And neither did I until I talked to a 16-year-old. He told me some stuff. And not in a weird way.
Yeah, and then I was chased out of the fucking high school. It was bullshit. Doing research.
Anyway, I live in Hollywood, but 20 miles away from any school district, so.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
What is whatever you guys are saying there?
I think it's something kids say when they play Fortnite, no?
Okay.
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I mean, it's just funny, this, like, where we're at now.
I honestly don't care. I'm being polite to a 16-year-old.
No, I mean, you don't have, it's like, yeah, you shouldn't care, because it's just, you know, it's something you're going to see on TikTok and go, okay.
And you know what I say to that?
What is something that you think is overrated?
Oh God. Sarah. Do you want me to get in trouble?
Yeah.
You want me to get in trouble in front of God and everyone?
Uh-huh.
Everyone.
All right. I'm going online the other day.
Okay.
And I'm on Twitter. I just woke up. Everyone's going Olivia Rodrigo this, Olivia Rodrigo that. And I'm going, who? And then I watch, and then I listen, and I watch, and I go, excuse me, she's This is an 18-year-old.
Right. Yeah.
Why should I care?
Very much a child.
Yes.
It was a phenomenon. I listened to it because we talked about it on the episode Tuesday, and I was like, I mean, I get the angst of it, like, but for me personally, I have my own ways of feeling anxious with music, and it wasn't quite hitting the notes for me. But I don't know. I think it's just been a lot of the momentum for a lot of people that have been swept away is like, oh, I just love that it's tapping into this like feeling of like youthful chaos, and I'm like, that's a part of my life I don't want to revisit.
So it's like, honey, have you ever heard of Kurt Cobain? My God, what are we talking about here?
That's what's kind of funny is that it kicked off this sort of like, oh, you mean there was no emo music when we were growing up? And people just like listing all these albums of like,
oh, is her music emo?
No, not like that. But it's like the content is just about like this, you know, love lost and being confused and hating your ex.
Sad.
And they're with somebody else. And fuck that person now. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What's your album for getting there, Sarah?
Okay, I'm going to say something controversial again.
Oh, shit.
Yep, I just found out about the band Typo Negative, and I've been listening.
Typo Neg over here, okay.
I don't know how this has escaped me, but I'm addicted to the album October Rust, and it's all like dark, gothic metal, sad vampire gothic songs about love lost. So if I'm feeling angsty and emo, I'm not going to listen to a child talk about growing up in Calabasas or whatever and being sad that her boyfriend dumped her.
Malibu, right. Malibu,
Malibu, Malibu, Malibu, Malibu, Malibu.
Strawberry ice cream, spoons for two.
No.
Deja vu or whatever the fuck the lyric is. I'm like,
oh, no.
God.
The best, though, if you should listen back to the episode because we had Chris Crofton on, who's like an older indie artist, and he just like couldn't understand what was going on. He's like, but
what am I missing?
I think it's one of those things too, where my first concern was like, I remember when Vanessa Carlton was out and I was not fucking with Vanessa. I was all in on G-Unit and shit at the time, but still that shit got me. And I don't know if it was because of like, at the time that was like the music that just was so pervasive. You're like, you can't escape it. And that's why I liked it. But this, I don't know that my relationship to pop, like capital P pop music, is I'm not listening to radio anymore, so I'm not really hearing it. So I was like, it's not catching. I get why it's catching other people, but it doesn't do the hook thing.
Right. Like, am I getting older, or is the like Swedish mafia that's writing all of the same pop songs getting like more like alienated from reality and disconnected?
I don't know. This is a worthwhile exploration for sure.
The hell? Yeah. I'm done with teenagers. I don't care about Billie Eilish. Okay.
The other thing that was pointed at Chris Crofton was like, it's all written by one guy. It's the one guy getting the song credits too, along with her. He's like, we don't need this older white guy helping her tell the story. It's like, what's she really want to say? Is that what she wants to say? And I'm like, okay, Chris, I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know, baby. It's what the kids like, though.
Right. I agree. And if she's like a child star, it's like, did you have time to freaking go develop a relationship and drive around in a car with the roof down or whatever? Or are you freaking getting hauled around to auditions and stuff by your weird family?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
The hell?
So Driver's License is a song about a relationship she had with somebody on a TV show that she was in with them. And it's like, yeah, it has like a whole like weird backstory that is like partially like part of a scripted universe. So it's kind of it all seems very curated. But
I think maybe that's why, though, it has this other effect, though, too. It's like there's layers of real life drama. Like if you're fans of these people, I mean, I don't know who it would have been about, like when we were, I guess, like Alanis Morissette being like, oh my God, that's about Dave Coulier. It's like the fucking
closest number one
thing
pop idol, Dave Coulier.
Right. She did what to him in a theater?
Oh, yeah. No.
Down on.
<Mm-mm. laughs> You know, he was using that puppet voice.
Oh, no. Like the chipmunk ranger.
Whatever.
Not now. Like, oh, gosh. Dave.
Well, I also think Driver's License is a fine song. My kids love it. So I think it's fine. And that was important for me to say.
Jack, defend the song, please.
Sarah, what is something you think is underrated?
Well, I already said the existence in the Cronenberg universe is underrated. But what is underrated in general? God damn. There's so, you know what? You know who's underrated?
Uh-oh.
Gary Newman.
Gary?
Yeah.
Who's that?
He did Here in My Car. Na, na, na,
na, na, na. Oh, yeah.
Here in My Car. And everyone only knows Car. And I'm sitting here going, locked down in a pandemic. Okay.
And this can't be it.
No, I watched every single live performance on YouTube available to me of Gary Newman. He's a fucking synthesizer, electronic music legend, and he deserves some goddamn motherfucking respect.
So what are the other tracks? Like, are there other ones we're just not attributing to him that we realize we do know his work, or it truly didn't sort of break past that Car for people who didn't know his body of work?
I mean, I think he's like, he's famous.
Right.
But like, and Trent Reznor loves him.
Mm. They have similar vibes.
Yes. David Bowie hated him, I think. Don't quote me on this.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure Bowie thought he was like copying his shtick of being like a weird guy looking like an alien on stage being like strange.
I don't know which one I'm more impressed by, that Trent Reznor liked him or that David Bowie hates him. That's to get David Bowie's attention and have him feel any sort of way strongly about you. That's pretty cool.
Right. Like, I love Pixies because I watched a YouTube video about David Bowie being like, you guys heard of this band Pixies? They're freaking cool.
Hold on, what?
And I got nervous in the pandemic because I saw Gary Newman made a Patreon. I'm like, oh, that can't be good. What's legendary musician Gary Newman doing? Starting a Patreon. But then I Googled his house and he has a mansion in Beverly Hills with a large sculpture of a dragon outside, and he's got a hot blonde wife with big boobs. I'm like, hey, he's fine.
Right.
Oh, big Margaret Thatcher fan too.
Wait, really?
Gary Newman?
Yes.
Yes. No.
He said he was an outspoken supporter of the Conservative Party and Margaret Thatcher after her election as prime minister, although he later expressed regret for giving his public support, calling it, quote, a noose around my neck. He's previously considered himself neither left nor right wing and didn't support Blair or Cameron. He also said, quote, I'm not a socialist. I know that. I don't believe in sharing my money.
Hey, I mean, that's very strong. Like, guy who was famous in the late 70s, early 80s vibes. Like,
Nobody who was making a ton of money high on cocaine, like, came out the other side being like, yeah, man, I just feel like I don't need this stuff. I can just give it away.
High on cocaine. Dun, 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 dun.
Supporting Thatcher and austerity is violence.
Yeah, it's like, don't look into the album he did inspired by Middle Eastern music. And I'm not going to tell you the name of the album because I get in trouble for saying it out loud. But, he's a weird old guy stuff. You know,
By the way, I'm just looking here at my notes, and when I asked about underrated body horror, I meant to ask you guys if you've ever seen Superman 3. So this is going to be this episode's going to be a real adventure, because my brain is not working. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night, so I might be like, hey, I have a note here from 15 minutes ago, and I appreciate you guys bearing with me. Have you guys seen Superman 3?
That's the one with Richard Pryor in, right?
Yeah.
No, I've only seen like parts.
There's a moment that is like the scariest moment of body horror, where a character like gets taken over by a like robot, but like all these wires like crawl over her skin and like her eyes like shield over by this. It's just this like random, like, it's not a good movie. It's not an interesting movie, but it has this thing that like stuck with me. And then somebody like brought it up on Twitter the other day and they were like, this fucked me up hard. And I hadn't realized how much of my nightmares were built that foundation.
If you just search Superman 3 Cyborg, I'm guessing this is the scene. But it looks like this woman is just turning into Robin Williams from, like, what is it? Bicentennial Man?
Yeah, but it's, like, weird and violent. And it, I don't know. It really fucked me.
Oh, this is violent because it looks comedic where she's like, and her face is metal, but I'm guessing it's a little bit more horrific.
Well, when you're four and in the 80s, when when machines were still scary, it was not comedic, okay?
She's like, oh no, I'm turning into a computer.
Exactly. I also thought Johnny Five was terrifying. The scariest movie monster of all time. So,
or Fisher Stevens' portrayal of that Asian character.
Brown face. All right. Well, let's take a quick break and we'll be back and talk about some news.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and let's check in with our old friend Amy Cooper. I mean, she's like maybe her face is definitely on the like Mount Karen more, like of the most famous Karens.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird time because she wasn't like Barbecue Becky or some of the other ones,
right?
The, like Lemonade Lisa, some of the other famous white women who would just sort of, you know, meddle and just call the police on people doing things like having a barbecue or selling lemonade and shit like that. Mm-hmm, I think because this shit went down the same day George Floyd was murdered.
Yes.
So you know, rightfully so, the reaction, it got the reaction it deserved. And for, if you don't remember, it was Christian Cooper. He's a bird watcher. He was in the bramble of Central Park where it's posted everywhere. You got to have your dogs on a leash. And a lot of bird watchers like to go there. And when your dogs are not on leash, they can chase the birds away. And now you've got your fucking day wasted because this person got the dog off the leash. So if you remember, the video was him just being like, hey, do you mind putting your dog on the leash? Like, you're not supposed to have the dogs off leash in this section of the park. And she's like,
this black man
is attacking me.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, if you remember, she was like yanking the dog around by the leash and people were like, you're not even paying attention to your dog. You're just like flinging it around. So it led to, you know, she lost her job. I believe the dog was even taken away because it, like, couldn't even know how to handle a dog on a leash. And, you know, she even had a kind of apology that she did publicly. I'll read it just so you can, because I think this is a good primer to understand where she's at now. So the starts off really clear. I sincerely and humbly apologize to everyone, especially to that man.
Okay.
Kiki Palmer. I'm sorry to that man and his family. It was unacceptable. And I humbly and fully apologize to everyone who's seen that video. Everyone that's been offended. Everyone who thinks of me in a lower light. And I understand why they do. When I think about the police, I'm such a blessed person. I don't even need to read anymore. She says, I've come to realize that I'm afforded a different luxury in my interactions than with the police than other people might be. And then ends it with, I reacted emotionally and made false assumptions about his intentions when, in fact, I was the one who was acting inappropriately by not having my dog on a leash. I'm well aware of the pain that misassumptions and insensitive statements about race cause.
Mm.
Cut to, she's suing her bosses and former employer for wrongful termination, and she was discriminated against.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean,
she's really the victim. Well, let's think about it here. I mean, she, you know, poor thing.
Yeah. I think her lawyers are that band Prodigy who are like, inhale, you're the victim. And she's like, okay, yeah, that's right. This is in her lawsuit. She says, Franklin Templeton is a company she worked for, characterized a former employee as racist for calling the police on a black bird watcher whom she had words with while walking her dog in Central Park. That was the problem, is that they categorized it as racist. Amy Cooper said the May 25th incident was spurred by her fear of the bird watcher, Christian Cooper, who she says had a history of, quote, aggressively confronting, end quote, dog owners for walking their dogs off leash. She even goes on to say that she can even back up her scary black man claims with a testimony from a fellow black man that would also attest to Christian Cooper's scariness for being God. Like, hey, have some respect for the bird watch. Like, I still don't understand what is so scary, but yeah, that's it.
I'm wondering if like part of their strategy is to wait a year and hope that we don't remember what we saw in that video, because like she is talking to the police and being like, a black man is like I forget if she says accosting me or attacking me, but
it's, like, whatever it is, she's definitely weaponizing the description of this person on the phone to the police. Absolutely. Which is why everyone's like, you know what the fuck you're doing. You're saying I can call police, and that's why you should stop telling me what I can and cannot do. That is not your place as a black person telling me, a white person, if whether or not I should have my dog on the leash. And that, you know, is what it boils down to. And even her employer was like, yeah, we don't have anything to say. The video speaks for itself.
Right.
End quote.
Her lawyer's fucked up, because it should have been like, we're suing her workplace for discrimination. They were discriminating against Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs people. Are you kidding me? My God. That's what the discrimination is.
And they should have definitely used that language, too.
Yeah, Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. It's a mental health issue, after all. Right.
Yes.
General Mills. Brought to you by General Mills.
Oh, shit.
But yeah, she's also suing for her lost wages and like a bonus that she thinks she would have got 2020. Okay, I'm sure every company is doing buku numbers in 2020. She also says like the termination caused obviously much trauma and pain and distress as well.
Sheesh.
This lawsuit is not bussing, respectfully. Sorry.
It's so funny because it's like we're watching someone like find out about the internet in real time.
Right. Like, right. But I feel like this isn't even the internet. This isn't like a clip taken out. This is a 3-minute long clip where her actions are so clear. So she's claiming that she was discriminated against by like someone showing her behavior to lots of people. Like, that's that's the only thing that happened. So it's,
I mean, look, I'll play the video really quick just so you can hear. She's, because a lot of, in her lawsuit too, she's like, you should play the whole 911 call. The video starts off when she starts charging at him for being like, yo, can you put the dog on a leash?
I'm asking you to stop. Please don't come close to me.
Sir, I'm asking you to stop recording me.
Please don't come close to me.
Please take your phone off.
Please don't come close to me.
I'm taking a picture and calling the cops.
Please call the cops.
So now she's calling the cops. And the dog is like, yo, you're lifting me off the ground.
African American, he has a bicycle helmet. He is recording me and threatening me and my dog.
Threatening me, right.
There is an African American man.
She's like, I'm not sure if you heard me, motherfucker.
Threatening the dog. At this point, she's literally holding the dog like off the ground.
I forgot about that part.
And again, I'm sure, yeah, you need the whole 911 call. But regardless, nice try. Good luck to you in your endeavors.
You want to hear my big conspiracy theory hot take?
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. She, you know, that thing happens a year ago. She gets famous. She gets infamous.
Right.
All right. That dies down. We have other things to think about. She's like, all right, everyone's, you know, thinking like, all right, how do we make money off this woman? She's the most infamous person. And like, there's like, you know, 10 infamous people a year.
Right.
I think she's trying to make a podcast, honey.
Oh,
she's keeping her name up there.
Yeah.
I mean, when I saw that this headline from our outline, Central Park Karen reemerges in her final form, written by Miles Gray, was almost certain that she was going to be speaking at like CPAC or like some like conservative convention. Like,
it's possible.
Yeah, totally. Also, super producer Justin is pointing out that she did get her dog back.
Oh, thank God.
Dog was like, fuck, really?
Within 10 days of the incident. Okay, so look, people, everyone lost their cool, huh, Amy? Let's just call it bygones. I don't know what, I mean, this is the crescendo to be speaking at CPAC, you know, just like with the McCloskeys, who are like pulling guns on protesters. And we were predicting, we're like, they're speaking. I was just flippantly, I was like, they're going to be at CPAC. Yeah. And they were. I mean, the second she starts taking it to like cancel culture or like the liberal media, there's no buzzwords like that quite yet. But I'm sure, you know,
that's because her TED talk isn't coming out.
Right.
Right.
Her fed up talk with all the conservatives.
Her Ted Nugent talk.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's talk about the big midterm issue that the GOP is planning to run on. Last time it was, they made up a big like zombie horde of immigrants that were coming to crash the U.S. border and like started like using video footage of that was not even from present day, the present tense, but using that to just try and create a sense of impending doom. And that didn't really work, right? Like they lost a bunch of seats. I mean, it was, who knows?
We talked about how it's just about turning racism up to 3 million in order to get people to like turn up, just to be like, this is where we're at, guys. Choose a side. Here we go. And yeah, this is a very, very clear case of them trying to take something like critical race theory and weaponizing it, because it goes hand in hand with this last story with Amy Cooper, right? Is that this idea that from our judicial system to just the society of our fabric is so intertwined with white supremacy from the origins of African slavery that we do ourselves a disservice to not critically look at that and analyze that as a means to pursue liberation for all people, especially Black Americans. And, you know, because of that, the right does not want that, because they don't want nuance about anything. They want to keep everything so clear and the lines so clear that you can just pick a side without being like, well, hold on. You're saying even if I didn't own slaves, there's a way for me to participate in white supremacy. But no, this is not what they want. So a recent analysis by Media Matters showed that Fox News has, and a lot of conservative media, has been cranking up the volume on this. Over 550 mentions in the last 11 months, and nearly 90% of Facebook posts on the topic come from right-leaning sources. And it's just, you know, all by design. Like what I'm saying, it's a thought-killing cliche that they want to introduce to their supporters. in the sense that, you know, if they can just immediately dismiss things and being like, oh, that's it's critical race theory, critical race. Like, well, hold on. Do you even know what that means? Are you just saying that as a way to avoid a discussion? And this is, you know, I think what we're seeing, there's a few tweets that someone dug up about one of these guys, a conservative, who has made it his goal to elevate this as like a hot button issue. He said, quote, the goal is to have the public read something crazy in the newspaper and immediately think critical race theory, thus right. encompassing an entire range of cultural constructions. So this is what they want to introduce now, and also sort of hold up this boogeyman that it's being taught in like K through 12. Really, it's in universities and, you know, graduate studies that you're really looking at critical race theory as it would maybe relate to like a law practice or things like that. So it's just a very bizarre thing. And I think because we saw Nicole Hannah Brown, who penned the 1619 Project, her tenure was blocked by a Republican controlled board of trustees at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. This is something that they're all kind of getting on board with to sort of say, let's point a finger at this, and maybe this will be enough to inspire our racist supporters to come out.
Yeah, I had a sense that like I was probably underestimating how angry this made conservatives and Republicans when that Tennessee politician was basically like, keep talking about critical race theory, guys. You see what happens. Like, basically,
yeah,
he was like, we're tired and you don't want to see what we're going to do. It was like threatening violence in the Tennessee like state legislature. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they want to avoid it. There's no way they can keep winning elections if more people are like understand the underpinnings of like the racism in this country at a societal level. Like they're like, no. Like, they can't have more information. Like, we're already losing them on the bootstraps things because too many of them now are realizing there aren't livable wages. So we can't add their understanding of the racist history of this country to that, or else they'll look at everything. So right. I just want to play this clip from Fox News because they're even talking about, like, they're sort of tipping their hat to, like, you know, no one was even talking about this a year ago, in the sense that, like, because we were trying to get people to talk about this.
Right.
Where you have supporters of critical race theory saying that it allows white people to empathize with minorities. And then opponents of it say that it is divisive and quite frankly unhealthy to look at everything through the lens of race. And, you know, I was just thinking about a year and a half ago, we weren't talking about this. Nobody really knew what critical race theory was. That's because it wasn't really called that. It was called diversity or anti-racism training. And if you speak out against that, well, then you're racist. And then certain things started to happen under the name of diversity and anti-racism training. And it was like getting rid of schools named after our founding fathers. Or,
so again, they're completely distorting the definition of it. They're saying, hey, you know how like they said like Jefferson Davis was a shithead? That's critical race theory. Dr. Seuss, critical race theory. Colin Kaepernick, critical race theory. Like, right. That's just like the repetition they're giving people, just the same way they get people talking about anything that deals with, you know, empathy for the poor or any marginalized group is socialism.
Right.
Like, that's all they need. And this is the other thing they're doing to create an obstruction towards, you know, increased understanding around race relations in this country.
Well, because Fox News doesn't see color. That's actually
right. No. It's divisive, Sarah. I mean, to look at everything through the lens of race, it's unhealthy, especially if you're white, because your vision is so distorted because you benefit from the fact that everything is seen through the prism of your race. It's like, well, I don't want to start doing that. Then I'll realize how much of an advantage I may have had. Oh, no, it's divisive.
It's funny to say that. Like fans of critical, it's to be fans of critical race theory.
Right.
I'm a real fangirl of critical race theory over here.
Oh, my God. I'm just thirsting for critical race theory.
I'm thirsting for knowledge about, like, the history of how power dynamics are established.
Right. I'm thirsty for understanding hegemony. Ow.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk about that Friends reunion, guys.
Oh, no.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And as I mentioned, I don't really have much more to say about this Friends reunion other than it seems like, I don't know, it's trending. People are reviewing it like it is a feature film. Like,
yeah,
there's
deceptive.
They're like, this is top notch. It's changing the game for how reunions are. And normally we don't like to do entire segments where we talk shit about something we haven't seen yet. But I, as a concept.
We can.
Yeah, as a concept, I don't care for this. Sarah, thoughts?
I'm pissed off.
Takes go.
You want to pop off?
Yeah, pop the fuck off.
And you're telling me there's reviews that are positive about this? And then that's when I go, reviews, honey, that's called PR. Where'd reviews go?
Right.
I want to see people tear something down, spit it back out, chew it up, toss it around. Why are we getting a Friends reunion? We've had enough.
Yeah.
We've seen, everyone knows Friends. The hell?
Oh, see, Vox has one that's a little bit better. It says, the empty comfort of Friends, the reunion.
Okay.
Could this be any more pointless? Thank you, Alyssa Wilkinson, for coming through with that take. Friends has aged brilliantly and not well at all. It's the first time. To celebrate a series in 2021 with a reunion special is almost too tricky to attempt. Yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. cool.
You want a reunion? I'll show you a reunion.
Who?
Every single Real Housewives of New Jersey reunion. Moderated by Andy Cohen. Okay.
Right.
We have Andy Cohen asking hard hitting questions. Did your husband cheat on you?
Messy.
Why did you go to jail? Blah, blah, blah. If we have Andy Cohen moderating a friends reunion and being like, Matthew Perry, what happened in your like cocaine blackout? And also like, how's your little Raya tour going? Because every freaking 23-year-old in LA has seen you on there. Honey.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's a very definitely Andy Cohen thing. He's like, what's going on with you and Raya? You know what I mean? And be like, what the fuck is this? Ben?
That's a reunion.
I like when he admitted to using heroin on CNN, where he was like, I feel like I'm on heroin. And Anderson Cooper.
Oh, when he's
like,
all like warm?
What?
When he's
like,
Anderson
no, you know,
Cooper?
It's just like warm and pulsing. He's like, but you just said heroin. Like, you don't know what that's like. He's like, oh, yeah, no, I've
that's
heard.
What I hear.
I've heard. I was like, oh, okay.
They're like, get Anderson Cooper and him to talk more on that, actually.
I know.
He's
yeah.
like, yo, don't make it hot, fool. Like, don't, we not on the H anymore like that. Yeah, I mean, I would like to see that. I want to see Teresa Giudice answer for her table flipping and things like that. But
do
yeah,
they,
I don't.
Would that be new ground to have a reunion that was like bringing all the different casts together, or have they done that
like a mega reunion?
Yeah,
I've never seen anything like that, because also reunions just end up being like the laziest content at the end of the season. We're right. like, okay, you got another episode out of just people sitting down talking about what just happened. So I get I'm sure at the end of the day this is a fantastic bit of money for everyone involved, and that's probably the only reason why it happened.
If there's a reunion, I want to see lives ruined. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You want it to be right.
Decades long friendships burning in front of my fucking eyes. Yeah. Get a Sex in the City reunion going on. Put
yes.
Kim Cattrall and Sarah,
I would
whatever,
watch that.
In
yes.
the same friggin' room and say, why don't you guys talk to each other? And then you'll deserve the $10 million you get for doing the
right.
reunion.
Feels a little frosty in here, gals. What's happening?
You guys want to go over how the relationship broke down? Also, here's some rusty ice picks I'm just going to put loose on the ground in front of you two. Go ahead.
And it, feel free to express yourself via doo-wop.
And scatting.
Scatting. Yes, my bad. Yeah. Kim Cattrall is
wonderful.
Queen.
Legendary.
I mean,
give Billie Holiday a run for her money.
All right. So, friends reunion, you burnt. Let's talk about the new stemless AirPods that are coming. this is a boon for those of us who like to press our ear when we sing, like Mariah Carey or Ariana Grande, because they are just like the in-ear thing. But it's also part of Apple's like nonstop evolution of just removing features until everything is just a shiny white jelly bean. But they've removed the stems part from AirPods and created little in-ear pebbles. And
you're loving this story, huh?
as
someone who goes, how many AirPods you been through now?
Oh, I've only been through
one pair. Didn't you say pairs. Like they slowly can like the battery, because you were putting high use on yours?
Yeah, but I've had one regular pair and one pro pair.
And
okay,
they last. Yeah, thank you.
And now, and you're looking at going for the trifecta with the stemless?
I'm not saying I'm going to get them. I can still do the in-ear holding my finger to my ear while I hit the high note with the stems. I just cover the stem up a little bit.
Got it. Wait, so this is an Apple product?
Yeah, this is Beats Studio Buds, dude. That they released to LeBron James early. He wore them in the tunnel before a game, and people were like, wait a second.
Right.
But I don't
These
know.
These are disgusting. Okay, I'll pop up. You know what the stem is? It's the choking hazard for the ear. Your
right.
ear mouth is going to just choke complete. It's going to
yeah.
swallow this thing whole.
Oh, you're saying, how many stuck studio buds are we going to get in people's ears?
Yes.
Oh, could you imagine like a bad like ear impact with one in, and it's almost like just hammers it into your ear canal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure there's probably injuries like that anyway for people with big ear holes. But you know.
My uncle was an ER doctor, not to brag. He was like, you know how many cockroaches I had to pull out of people's ears? more than you'd think.
What?
Things get in your ear. And these little stupid bullshits are underestimating how much shit gets lodged deep into people's ears canals.
Yeah. Yeah, ugh. Butts and ears are like, that's a big part of being an ER doctor is things accidentally going up people's butts. And I was doing air quotes. And then ears, that is so fucked up when like bugs, because that's a bug that like crawled in someone's ear while they were sleeping. And then they, you know, freaked out when they felt it. And then the bug just like crawled deeper because there was finger poking at them.
Oh,
that is my fucking nightmare. Talk about body horror.
More than the cyborg lady from Superman 3?
I don't know. Yeah, maybe if I put these in, like it'll turn me into
that's your destiny. Apple.
Yeah.
Shitty Apple cyborg.
Apple cyborg. Superman. I do wonder, like, just thinking about this being the ultimate evolutionary direction that Apple products are all going into, like, once, like, shiny, smooth, white Tic Tac. Do we think that maybe the Tic Tacs that we keep seeing everywhere are Apple products from the future? Come back to spy on us.
Oh shit!
All right, that's what we're thinking about.
Just putting it out there.
All right, put a pin in that one.
I hate this like stylistic evolution of just turning everything into nothing. It's so disgusting.
Right.
Maybe something to look at. Like when what was it that like Vogue 20 questions or whatever walkthrough of Kim and Kanye's
73 questions. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was
shit.
You're talking to one of the original.
One of the OGs of that series, but
yeah. One of the creators of that series.
I didn't create it. I just directed a couple.
One of the directors. One of the.
So I'm on a Zoom with a living legend right now.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
did I hold a Dyson hairdryer in front of Cindy Crawford to get a hair blowing effect when we did that episode? Yeah, I did. Okay.
Super sharp.
She was a legend.
And she was cool, right?
She was great. It was the day Randy Gerber sold Casamigos for $1 billion. We were at Cindy Crawford's house.
I guess I would be nice too.
they rolled out. They're like, you guys want Casamigos? It was like handing people bottles. They're like, we don't live in Malibu, and the drive we're going to take is treacherous through a canyon. The last thing we need to do is drink a tequila now.
It's 7 a.m.
Yeah. It's like, okay. But the house is unbelievable. And like their kids are like parodies of themselves. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go on. You were watching those videos.
Things
are turning
into
weird products.
And I'm watching the Kim and Kanye one. And I'm going, you guys don't have anything in your house? You're the richest, most powerful people on the fucking planet. And you've got nothing. There's nothing to look at in your whole house. I hate this thing that everyone's looking like nothing.
AirPods, it's really bad.
It sucks.
Amorphous things. It's like, oh, look. This is my birth control device.
Yeah.
You're like, what? It's a white square. Oh, wait. Yeah. I'm sorry. That's my credit card. Or wait, is it my car key? Huh. Everything's,
everything's
so amorphous and lacks definition.
Smooth white pebble. Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be like, wasn't there like a movie? Or is that Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Like that you could just put the thing in your ear and you could hear every language or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like we're probably moving to like towards these like wearable singular devices. That's like you can understand any language. It'll like beam information to your head from ESPN if you need it.
From ESPN. From ESP to ESPN.
There it is, baby.
Our inner ear device.
And it looks like a sick-ass dangle earring.
You know what was not a good advertisement for cochlear implants? The Sound of Metal. They made that shit look not good.
I don't know if that was an ad for it. I don't know, but I mean,
bad call, guys. You shouldn't have done that.
Hope you're not holding any stock.
Bad call on the SponCon, because that was...
What'd they do?
So it's about somebody who loses their hearing. Spoiler alert, he saves up to get the cochlear implant, and it just, like, it doesn't really solve his problem, and, like, it sounds really, like, robotic and shitty when he gets it. And, like, that is often a first stage, but then, like, they really, like, you know, lock it in after a while and like people are able to use it. But because it can't be the solution to the
this character's
protagonist's problem, they make it seem like it's a less
hell.
It's yeah, like, ah!
Like they really make it seem like it's fucking hell.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
They get sued by the manufacturers. Like, this is fucking slander, man.
Right. All right. So this is kind of a weird one, but it's kind of based on a Twitter thread that I've had going for the past 12 hours. I've talked before on here about how I was shark guy when I was like 4 to 7, probably. Like, that was the thing my aunts and uncles and like friends all knew me as, is like a kid who said he wanted to be a sharkeologist, even though that wasn't a profession, aka kid who like said he wanted to be eaten by a shark. Like, and I watched Jaws over 100 times, like, just so I could say that I'd watched Jaws over 100 times.
Like you were like counting them off. You're like, fuck, man, I got 15 more to go. And I guess I've seen it 100 times.
Before tomorrow. Yeah, I pulled an all nighter the night before second grade started. But
like, we're worried about Jack. He comes into class with just dark circles under his eyes, like he's not getting much rest, and he keeps drifting.
Smile, you son of a bitch. Just like muttering Jaws lines. Gonna need a bigger boat.
Like a doll's eyes. What?
What the fuck, man? But yeah, so Farrah Brook on Twitter tweeted that she missed being like 9 years old when being really into dolphins was her entire personality. And I have a 5-year-old who's going through a similar phase with trains. And so I was like, what were other people's like singular like obsessions when they were kids? So before I get into kind of a survey of the responses, did you guys have these?
Oh, yeah.
I have a million. I replaced my personality with anything around me. Are you kidding?
Right, right. To this day. Yeah.
What was an early singular focus you had, though?
When Sarah Hughes won the gold medal for ice skating in, like, I don't know, what, a million years ago? So Sarah Hughes won the gold medal for some ice skating thing when I was like, what, like, I don't know, 2? Uh-huh. And her name was Sarah, she was from the same town on Long Island that I was from.
I mean, that's all I need. That's huge. Like, I am impressed. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, my name is Sarah. I'm Sarah Hughes. I'm from Long Island. I can win a gold medal. No problem.
Right.
And I just printed out black and white pictures of her from the computer, from Google Images, and hung them up in my room.
That's awesome.
I love that. Just a straight line to it. You're like, yeah. Now it's me. I loved dinosaurs. I was dino child for a while.
Right.
Like, I was fucked up off of dinosaurs. Like, you know, like my parents, like, he only says words that have to do with dinosaurs. Like, he's really into it. And then
there's a great part in the sorry to interrupt. There's a great part in the new Lord Miller Netflix, like the Millers or Mitchells versus the robots, where the younger kid will just like go through the phone book and call people and be like, hey, do you want to talk to me about dinosaurs for 15 minutes? And then people are like, nope. And he's like, okay, bye. And then like just crosses them out. But like, that's literally how my son is about trains. Like, he's just like, let's talk about trains, like to anybody, to the mailman.
It was dinosaurs. And then that turned into X-Men and then Star Wars vehicles. And Star Wars technology, where I was buying like schematics of like blasters and A-wing bombers and shit to like really understand what I was dealing with, like from a mechanical sense, from all the Star Wars shit I was into.
Yeah.
I was like, it's not enough just to be able to say what the fuck it is. You need to know how this ion engine works, fam. I don't care if it's fake, but don't come with me some nonsense.
Yeah. So a teacher in the UK and then a bunch of like parents in the UK said that World War II airplanes in particular are like, they're like, yeah, there's one kid in every class in the UK, like, who is obsessed with World War II airplanes.
Yep.
And I wonder if that's like because that was such a like cultural trauma over there, like the bombing raids from the Nazis, that like that's just passed down through the generations, because I feel like ours is not necessarily World War II airplanes.
I don't know.
For our kids.
It's weird. I had a friend who I grew up with, Handsome Nick, who you met.
Oh, yeah.
We were all in on World War II shit. I think part of it had to do with my grandfather talking about World War II. So that gave me like, oh, shit, like, I want to know about this thing that, you know, my grandfather was in. And I got into the planes too, but like not so much. Like I knew I could talk about like you know, like a Mustang P-51 or whatever is the American one, and Mitsubishi Zero is a Japanese one and shit like that.
Yeah. So the ones that seem like they are pretty standard, Dinosaur seems like it's the one that is to the point that it's almost like a phase that every 5-year-old goes through, or like most 5-year-olds go through. Space seems to be kind of up there too.
Yeah.
Trains up there as like a thing. I think that's like more on the younger side.
This is like guy stuff, though.
Yeah. Well, but a surprising number of girls were like really into cars and fire trucks. So one that I was not expecting that we got multiple responses on was Greek mythology.
Yes. It's very queer.
That's
all
so
of my
cool.
gay friends were obsessed with
That's
Greek
so
mythology.
Wild.
Because it's like epic drama.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's those names were so confusing to me. I was also a very dumb kid, so I think...
Was there a simple book to get into Greek mythology?
I think, like, one person was referencing, like, there was an illustrated guide, and they were just, obsessed. But Alex Schmidt was real into Greek mythology, one of the smartest humans I know. Yeah, but he was like, yeah, that was my thing. That's super cool. Turtles, which makes sense because they're just, like, slow dinosaurs that are still around.
Mm-hmm.
And you get I like turtles kid. I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, exactly.
Or legend.
What? Legendary.
Who's dressed as a zombie, by the way. I mean, yeah. What's going on with you?
There were a couple people who just had colors. Like one person was obsessed with the color red orange from like when they were young all the way up through, they said, like when they went away to college.
Grow up. Jesus.
That color sucks. And somebody else was into green. And then there were like historical events. The Titanic was a big one.
Oh, my. Well, because it's the best movie of all time.
Right.
Is that you? Were you also in on the Titanic?
Because the movie, I mean, like when I was a kid, it's like that movie is life ruining.
Right.
Like, name a movie that's more life-ruining than Titanic.
In what sense? How did it ruin your life?
Devastated
like, it just took
me.
You away?
Devastated me beyond my wildest imagination.
Oh,
right.
Well, you know, you can go to that full-scale replica they're building in China.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you
There's
serious?
A billionaire who's building a to-scale one. It's
Are
like
you
landlocked.
Serious?
Yeah, but he's, like, obsessed with it. And everyone's like, why is this guy building? It's like, I don't know. This dude has so much money and nothing to do. So, yeah.
You know, he's going to sink that shit. Like, he's doing like that's the only
yeah,
way
the
to like
opening day,
fulfill
he
your
kills
promise.
Every, blows
yeah.
the shit up.
Yeah.
Just should have known, motherfuckers. You really got on the Titanic maiden voyage. Y'all are fucking dumb. This is a fucking sociology experiment.
Some other Salem witch trials was one that like I like the idea of just like having an obsession with like a historic period. Like I definitely got into like castles and swords and shit like that.
I was obsessed with trench warfare.
That
Were you?
Just the idea
is so
of it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Actually,
I don't know
like
why.
World War One. You like that shit?
Not even World War One. I was just obsessed with the idea of a bunch of guys in like a hole in the dirt.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like living in holes.
Yeah, and so my friend who's like into like trippy stuff said that like when kids are obsessed with like historical events like that, it could be like past life, like residual past life stuff.
Oh, weird. I was into so many war stuff. Like I had a huge Civil War phase when I was a kid. It was wild because like by the time we got to those things in school, I was like, yeah, I know who Stonewall Jackson is actually. Like I was insufferable when it came to like the war units in class because I was like, I mean, y'all not really telling me anything new right now. So I don't know if this is actually an education.
Speaking of insufferable, so when other kids like got into dinosaurs, I was like right at the right age when Jurassic Park came out that I was like, I think I was like 11.
93?
Yeah.
Was it 93?
So, yeah. So I was 12. Like the way that I approached that was I was like really into, so I'd read Jurassic Park and really liked it, but then like read all of Crichton's books. So like people would be like, dude, have you seen Jurassic Park? I'm like, Actually, that's like Lesser Crichton.
Oh,
you guys should
God.
Really, yeah. You guys should really check out Sphere or like Congo. Those are really his like.
It's actually not the ending in the book.
just the worst piece of shit kid in the world.
That was the thing. Every kid, like older kid who read it, would like dunk on me with like, you know, the ending. It's actually different in the book. It's not the same as the movie. I'm like, what?
There's a what's book? The ending like, in the book?
I have no idea. Just know that was a thing that everyone lorded over.
Hammond, the old guy, doesn't make it, and he gets eaten by the little tiny dinosaurs.
Oh, and he then, does?
Yeah. Yeah. She's kind of cute.
That's what I was telling everyone about it. I'm like, you know, in the book, all the kids have sex with each other.
And then get eaten by tiny dinosaurs. And then this was just a cute story. Like, so there's a lot of people who are like, I was into He-Man. I was into different characters. And Angie Gravel tweeted, one of my kids was Buzz Lightyear for 3 years, slept in the PJs, wore the costume and cape, asked to have the eyebrows applied before daycare.
Wow.
The idea of the eyebrows is such an adorable detail to just like have drawn on eyebrows.
Don't have me looking foolish pulling up with these fucked up eyebrows, Mom.
Oh my God, he has like normal eyebrows.
Right, but there's like an arch to one of them, right? Like they're kind of arched and thin. So like this dude just had like very like, yeah, exactly.
He's like, he even shaved his own eyebrows off. He's like, they were getting in the way of the Buzz Lightyear ones that we need to draw on. What are you talking about, Mom?
There were multiple people who were obsessed with talk shows as kids, like Ricky Lake, Sally Jesse Raphael. Like they would set up audiences and just like do one person talk shows. And then there's sporting positions that wear masks. So one person's little brother was obsessed with Major League Baseball catchers. And another kid was just obsessed with hockey goalies, like for the masks only.
Wow. Which is like
fucking so.
I only got into hockey for the helmet and the equipment.
Right. Yeah,
I wasn't attracted to the sport by anything else except this kid I went to school with. His parent was like, I don't know, Miles can come by to see the game. I was like, yo, they get to wear all that shit. Count me in. But yeah, my other weird phase I had was I was so into the SWAT cop team because I watched Speed. And that shit completely, I was so cop brained as a kid. Like talking to the fucking neighborhood watch cop, be like, yo, man, can you take me to like a SWAT meeting? I want to see if the MP5 is the same weight as I think it is. They're like, you're not fucking 11. We'll get away from you. And I hand you a fucking submachine gun. I'm like, all right, I'm whatever. I know how to cut the pie. I know a dynamic entry. Got that angle mirror and a 45. I'll scout it in.
But anyways, people, when we're running Daily Zeitgeist Movie Studios, we can look at this list and figure out what needs movies because... You know, Titanic, biggest movie of all time. Jurassic Park, second biggest movie of all time. Jaws is like one of the biggest movies of all time. So like these kid obsessions are like.
Right.
Yeah, that's all you need. And then you're golden diamond.
We
got
to get
or
kids
whatever.
Into freaking cobblers.
Am I right, sister?
Yeah.
Get them cobbling. Yeah, that would be interesting. Young. I hope that's like a weird thing, like when Gen Z starts adulting, like they're starting in like medieval practices, like just rejecting consumer culture. And like, they're like, no, everything's homespun. Actually, I'm refining my own rubber from my own bicycle wheels.
Isn't there an Adam Sandler like drama called The Cobbler?
Oh, God, you're so right. Why didn't it stick?
Right. I mean,
oh, fuck.
I think it would have. It would be one of his biggest hits if any of these kids had said cobbler. But that was just never in the cards.
What was that one even about?
I believe a cobbler.
Oh, okay. So it's
if I'm not mistaken. Name. Yeah. And then like some, I think like there were some curses and some like time travel things. Happening.
A frustrated shoemaker finds a magical sewing machine that allows him to see the world in a new way by stepping into the lives of his customers.
There you go. Walk
imagine?
A mile in someone's shoes.
Oh, and Method Man is in that? I think there's going to be a lesson on race here.
Uh-huh. Oh, for sure. Sarah, it has been so fun having you.
Yeah.
What, a pleasure.
Thanks for having me. Please.
Where can people find you and follow you and experience your work?
You can find me anywhere on everywhere as Sarah Squirm. And you can watch my new little movie that I made on Means TV, means.tv. And you know what? Why don't you go watch it? Okay.
Go watch it. Go watch it. It'll fuck your day up.
It's fantastic.
It's very good. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
This tweet is from October 2019 from at Merman5, parentheses, me telling my story, how I survived a plane crash and lived on a desert island for a year. It was crazy. Parentheses, friend who once got a text from me where I accidentally called the Grinch the Grink. Was the Grink there?
That is a great tweet. Well worth
some.
Wait.
We'll never forgive some things. May we never let those things go. It's always unique to a friend group.
Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, you know, where it's the intersection of weed and 90 Day Fiancé and just a couple of immigrant kids talking shit. Tweet I like. First one is from past guest Amy Miller. I think this is 2 days in a row we're calling out some of her tweets, but it's from earlier in the week. Amy tweeted, a lady at Target just looked at me, pointed to her full cart and went, I don't need any of this shit. She says, some days you meet an icon. It's just like that someone, like those interactions where it's a stranger, but they look at you and like, you're my friend now. And I'm going to say this thing. You're like, I don't know, but cool.
All right.
Sure. You don't need any of this shit. Okay. This one is from Tawny Newsom at Trondy Newman tweeted, quick, everybody check again to see if you can moonwalk. It's been a minute. Very really vital skill. I was the other day, I had socks on and I was just tormenting Her Majesty when I was like, look how smooth I'm hitting it like Jaden. And she's like, what? And that's just for
and
us.
Then
the
just
moonwalkers.
Failing. Wait, can you moonwalk?
Yes, it ain't hard, Jack.
What?
I'm not hit. Look, I'm when I say I hit it as smooth as Jaden, I need a little bit of practice. But yeah, I've been as a kid growing up in the 80s and 90s, that has been a thing I've been hurting myself trying to do on wooden floors since I could walk.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm only okay with you using that as your tweet if you couldn't moonwalk. The fact that you can moonwalk, you know, makes me resent you a little bit.
Hey, shout out to Boogaloo Shrimp from Breakin, who is, you know, they actually say the original creator of the moonwalk, not Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Turbo, he's a thief, from Breaking. Like all great artists, he's a thief.
There's a great, actually, documentary about Boogaloo Shrimp on Amazon if you like Breaking and shit. I don't know if you do a very niche thing, but it's really interesting because you realize how much him meeting, like, Michael Jackson just changed dancing because the B-boy vibe came into the mainstream because of him, and he was very, like, humble, just, like, a very humble guy about it.
Tweet, I'm enjoying, shout out Farrah Brook again for, saying nostalgic for when I was 9 and liking dolphins was my whole personality because that gave me like 10 hours of entertainment. And shout out to all the people who got back to me with their weird childhood obsessions. Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song we think you might want to go check out. Miles, what song we...
I'll do another one from Dirty Art Club this time. This one's called Leant, L-E-A-N-T. And again, it's spooky. It sounds like a funky-ass haunted mall that you're, like, you're doing edibles in. And you're like, wait, what's this track called? That's why I love the whole aesthetic of Dirty Art Club and their work. So check this one out. It's called Leant.
All right. We are going to say you should go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist, the production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.